Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons, it's Christian Arcand, it's Andy Hart, and we're joined now on the hotline by Brian Scalabrine, NBC Sports Boston, Boston Celtics broadcast. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by findmassmoney.gov. It's fast, it's easy, and it's free. Now, Scal, I know there was a big game last night, and we do want to talk about that, but I wanted to play that clip first because you've probably seen the video circulating. You were there and you lived it. No reaction from you to that buzzer beater. It was similar, and I was just talking about this, to when Larry Bird was coaching the Pacers and Miller hit that big three to beat the Bulls in the playoffs, and Bird was just sitting there stone-faced. Now, there's a lot of theories as to why you had the reaction or lack of reaction that you did. I want to hear it from the horse's mouth. What was going through your mind as Tatum hit that shot?
So on my morning show, anyways, how you guys doing this
Hello,
week?
Scal.
So on my morning show, we have a thing called Battle of the Broadcasters. So we play all of the calls from the night before. Like, you know, the big shots. So you hear the devastation in the voice of the opponent and the jubilation of the home team and all that stuff, right? So I've heard, like, plenty of these. And most of the time, like, I'm all in, right? Like, I'm going crazy, and it's the second quarter and a run and all that stuff. But I've seen a lot of bad calls that kind of, like, take over the moment. We have an amazing director who does, you know, great imaging of the crowd, and they turn up the mics and all that stuff. So my whole thing is, like, do it right. And as much as emotion as I could feel during that time, the biggest thing is, like, that's not my moment. That's Tatum's moment. I'm not trying to, like, squash that. And if you listen to some of the, like, the best guys, not like the play-by-play guys, just their job to make that call, the analysts usually lay out. So my reaction is just to sit back, lay out. And that's why I got to keep it together during that time, because I feel like I have a job to do at that point. And it's not just about, like, my celebration.
So what was your reaction last night when Jason Tatum and the Celtics handled their business against a previously undefeated Cavs team?
Yeah, I mean, we played great. Al Horford was great, and you could tell, like, when Al Horford, so we had 2 days off game, 2 days off, now Cavs game, now we have another 2 days off. Man, the guy looks like a superhero right now, and I just think, so you just unfold the whole thing, you know, like, it's a big advantage for us going into this game. A lot of their defensive players out, you know, like Isaac Okoro, Dean Wade, like, they're, like, kind of their bruising guys that really kind of, like, physical defenders. So we had a big advantage. I know, like, the Stars were playing, but, like, those guys make a big difference for that team, especially with us, how we kind of use that killer whale offense to hunt matchups. So I look at it like this. Like we played great. The Cavs will play better, and we play them again for I think a normal game, not an NBA Cup game, but in Cleveland, not too far away, maybe a week, 2 weeks away. I think it'll be a much different game. I think those guys will fight, even though I just love the way that we played in that game last night.
Did you think that was Tatum's best game of the season?
No, I thought the Brooklyn game was, from the standpoint of we started out a little bit shaky. I thought it was his best defense and rebounding game. Holy smokes, man, because we needed to rebound against those guys. Mobley's a beast. Allen's a beast. Tatum was a man's man on the glass. So I thought it was his best rebounding game. But the Brooklyn game, he was just in a zone, like a crazy zone where we needed him to dominate because, you know, Brooklyn got off to that really good start. I think we were on a back-to-back that night, so we needed more from him. So I thought that probably was his best basketball game.
Did you think he was going to get whistled for a flagrant when he decked Mitchell at the end there? Because I definitely was worried about that.
If you're watching, like, I watched all league, like the league pass and everything, like, they're, like, not going to the replay. I think there's a big concern about the timing of these games and how long they're taking. So they don't want to start going down the road of replays. So, it's not like he hit him in the face, like with his hand reaching for the ball. It was like kind of like a shoulder shot. He was going for the ball. He missed. It is what it is. I didn't think they were going to go to and review that.
Watching that little buddy comedy at the podium between Tatum and White last night post game made me wonder, is this team significantly closer or tighter than even last year's team? It seems like the dynamic last year, we talked a lot about what Porzingis brought to the team and some of that stuff.
Yeah.
But how tight is this team right now?
Yeah, I think like winning a championship takes that pressure off of a lot of people, Tatum and Brown in particular. Like, you know, in Boston, you got to win, right? If they didn't win last year, can you imagine what this season would have been like? And that little pressure, and you just feel confident, you know, you did it, you know, like, so all that. I think, you know, things will ramp up again, but this team seems super connected. And the one thing, so we were talking about this on the show this morning, is Tatum and Brown, they've been in a ton of big games. And, you know, Al Horford obviously been in a ton of big games. And, you can go down the list with this team. They've been in a ton of big games. But they put their energy towards the right stuff. Like Tatum last night on the glass. Like, everyone thinks, oh, man, big game. Got to score 30 tonight. Got to have a big offensive game. I just don't feel like the Celtics feel like that. I think they're like, we got to make the right play, but we got to guard, we got to rebound. And that's the mindset of champions. You know, we all get caught up in the shot-making and the stats and the points and all that. But winning basketball games is way more defense and rebounding than anybody wants to talk about. And it's not sexy. You know, it's just like, I'm sure, like, when football games are won, they're one on the line, and everyone talks about the receiver, the quarterback, this and that, but it's probably mostly the trenches, right? Mm. That's how basketball is. It's defense. Are you defending the paint? We did a fine job. We weren't phenomenal in the paint, but we guarded the ball, and I thought we rebounded really well. Like that team's going to be a menace on the glass, especially with their rotations and stuff. We just rebounded so well yesterday.
Along those same lines, and it's a similar answer, I'm guessing, winning a title, taking pressure off, but Joe Mazzulla has always seemed comfortable in his own skin, but he seems even more comfortable now. Things I see, things I hear, answers. He just seems like he's really hit his stride. What is your sort of perception of how he's handled this new season as he said, the hunted?
Yeah, I don't buy into all that kind of stuff, like hunted hunter, bullseye, front, back, forehead. You know, I don't buy into all that stuff. I do think you're exactly right about, like, this more comfortable with his quirkiness, right?
Yep.
Like, he tried stuff his first year, and then, like, you know, whatever. Remember Marcus Smart's, like, you know, like, insignificant comment? Joe's been getting a lot of heat, deservingly so. You know, like,
yep.
I just think, like, he's beyond all that stuff right now. And, you know, he's going to challenge these guys in different ways. And, you know, I think our biggest thing is just, like, not getting up for big games. Like we are not getting up for, like, the middle-of-the-road games or Toronto's of the world, right? Like, that's, like, our biggest challenge right now. And, you know, I don't know if a coach is going to be, you know, like, really angry and, like, come on, guys, we got to do better in these sorry games. You know, I think it's more about, like, execution, like, consistency, doing the right thing. I think he picks and chooses his battles really well. And I think he's getting better at that now because he just has more experience and he knows the difference between what matters and what doesn't matter.
We're talking with Brian Scalabrine. Scal, of the 15 teams in the Eastern Conference, 11 of them currently are under 500. What do you attribute that to? And do some of these teams, like the Sixers, who I know are in the middle of a lot of turmoil right now, the Bucks have been underachieving, among several others. Which of those teams do you think are going to snap out of it, and which ones do you think will not?
I mean, I don't see Philly doing anything different. Like, I don't think Embiid's a good player anymore. I don't know what happened to him. But he was 2 years ago, he's the MVP of the league, and now, you know, Olympian, and he has a $300 million coming to him. He looks awful. The Bucks play too slow. They look old. But, you know, they're only a couple games back. So it's not like they can win four games in a row and all of a sudden be like a, you know, seventh seed or an eighth seed or something like that. But I don't see those teams. Here's what I do see. Let's talk about the teams I think are good, right? I think, obviously, Cleveland's really good. And I think Orlando is really good. I think that those two teams could be a real challenge in the playoffs because of their physicality, right? We didn't see the full Cleveland Cavalier team yesterday. I think they're much more physical than that. And then we haven't really got a chance to see Orlando yet. They're doing pretty well without Paolo Banchero. They're just going to get better. I don't know if any of those teams, like something drastic had to happen for that those teams to beat us, but I think both those teams are fun to watch and they're really good. Now, the West, on the other hand, has a lot of good teams. Even teams that aren't winning are good out there. It's like that conference is really deep.
Cada has had his moments this year, some lobs, some fun games. Seemed like last night was a game some of his warts got exposed. What did you think of his game and what it might mean moving forward?
Well, so those two guys, are hard to guard, right? Like Garland and Mitchell, and they did a good job of they had their own version of their killer whale offense. And, Nimi's a beast at the rim. And Carlisle picked up on this right away. Like, he kept moving Nimi away from the basket, getting him in the coverage away from the basket. But when he's at the rim, he's a real problem for the NBA. So, if you watch, I don't know if you guys watch Memphis, Zach Edey's kind of going through the same thing. Like, people are trying to move him to the perimeter.
Yep.
You know, he's got to get his timing down. You know, like, I think he'll get better. He improved a lot. But, that's a hard thing for a lot of bigs. Is it a problem for us if Porzingis comes back? I'm not sure. But, I think that's probably his one weakness. And, I didn't want to murder him so bad yesterday, but it was, like, clear as day. Like the way that they were moving him around the court, it was really hard for him to guard at that point. But coaching staff will take, they'll figure it out, and I think he'll work, man. Like, aspirations to do more than just be like a 13th man on a team.
You did. You made me laugh out. He cannot play in this game, or it was like a Tommy Heinsohn moment or something. It was great.
It's not like I didn't see the obvious. Like, it was like, come on, coach. And then, you know what's amazing? I didn't ask Joe this, but he went back to him. And there was that minute where Al Horford needed the break. He went back. I thought he was done. And so I gave him credit, man. Like, they went back to Nimi, and I didn't think he was awful. I think the biggest matchup problem with him was Mitchell, right? And so when Mitchell was off the court, you might want to put Nimi in the game, like with him off the court. But good chess match yesterday. Two really good coaches. Yeah, yesterday was fun. Yesterday was really fun.
Porzingis eyeing a comeback here as he keeps seeing him out there shooting and getting back into the swing of things. Obviously, he's going to give a big boost to this roster when he gets back. How big do you think it's going to be, and what's this going to mean for Al Horford's minutes? I know he's already not playing back-to-backs and things like that, but he's playing really well right now. So how are they going to manage that when he's ready to come back?
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to handle the Porzingis stuff. I think we'll figure that out when he does. Al Horford, obviously, if you just look at the way he's played with these rest games, with the 2 days off, he's amazing. So obviously, more rest for Al is better. It's good. It would be good. It's not about like the conditioning or anything like that at this point, or injury healing. It's about getting his body ready to sustain NBA impact, right? And him running around the court shooting threes is awesome, but ultimately it's about bracing yourself, right? And I don't know when they get used to that, or when he does that, or first time he bodies up a guy, but when that does come, it's going to be I'll be holding my breath a little bit. But, yeah, I think they know what they're doing. They'll bring him back, and I think obviously be a major boost to what we're doing.
So now a couple games into the cup here, win, loss, this thing. What's your perception on how much they care about that at all on the Celtics, top of the rotation or bottom either?
I think they do, and I think they're looking out for the people that work for the Celtics. I think like these guys like live and die with this team, right? Like they work on the players at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, shoot with them, work on their game. Like there's so many people that work behind the scenes, and it's significant for them, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think no one's turning down the money, but I wouldn't be surprised if some of the top dogs just throw their check into the pot for all the people that help. So I think, what's better than like making a selfless act about, can you imagine just if you're making, I don't know, 200 grand and you get 200 grand, it's like life change. That could be college for your kids, like just overnight. So I think that their motivation is, like the other people in the organization, there's a lot of them that would that money could really help them.
All right, we'll leave it right
Wait,
there.
Real quick, sorry.
All right, okay.
One last thing I had to ask you about, because you brought it up, I think, in the second quarter last night. How do you feel about being B-listed for the White House?
Oh, right. Yes, of course.
No, I got invited. I got invited late.
You were B-list.
Did they not know who you were or something? Like, what happened there?
Yeah, Ian Eagle had a call the other day when Cam Thomas should have said, he was like, no, yes. That was my invitation. And you know what? It was a hard no. It was like, don't even ask. You can't go. And I was like, okay. So, like, I'm in New Hampshire right now watching a basketball game. So, like, I was like, I made other plans. What do you want me to say? So I've been telling this team I'm helping out coach. I've been telling them, you know, I passed up the White House to come here and watch you guys play.
So the team initially said hard no? That's crazy. Why?
Hard no.
Wow.
It wasn't even a maybe.
Who told you that? Megliola?
No, I mean, I'm not going to call anybody out, but okay. It was a hard no.
Now you know how Perk no. feels. You're
yeah,
like
right.
with Perk. You're
exactly.
on the outside looking in.
Yeah, it was almost, like that. But it wasn't me. I'm telling you, it wasn't me.
All right. Well, now he's not going anyway. So there you go. Brian Scalabrine, thanks so much for the time. Nice to talk with you. And we'll talk to you again next week.
Right. Sounds good. Thanks.
All right. That's Brian Scalabrine, NBC Sports Boston. Color commentary on all these Celtics games. Next one coming up is Friday against the Washington Wizards down in D.C. And then on Sunday, they got a game I'm looking forward to against Minnesota as they venture over into the Western Conference, another game against a tough team out west. They haven't played a lot of Western Conference teams yet. In fact, I think the only Western Conference game they've played so far is Golden State. I think that's it.
0-1 in the West.
They're 0-1 against the Western Conference. So we'll see what they do this weekend against Minnesota. Not super looking forward to this Washington game. I feel like that's a bit of a layup. But yeah, Minnesota on Sunday, afternoon game at TD Garden, should be a good one. And Brian Scalabrine, of course, will be on the call. If you missed any part of that interview or our Adam Schefter interview, you can go back and listen to the podcast anytime. Just subscribe to WEEI Afternoons on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts. We got some Hall of Fame talk coming up here. Some Patriots on the Hall of Fame ballot have made it down to the list of 25. We'll get into that right after this.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.